I'm your host, Riley, the Red Podcast Ranger, and each week my guests and I sit down in the command center and talk about fanciful worlds without the restriction of intellectual property rights. It's the Mighty Morphin Power Hour. With us today is internet archaeologist Justin Wang, guitarist for the band Jinx, YouTubist for the station Wang. Say some words.
Hey, I'm sorry I interrupted the rest of your introduction for me, your fabulous introduction. And I'm kind of worried now. It's because I said, hey, and then, like, you're still talking. So now it's going to sound like, look like, hey, on my end. Although, like, wait, you're recording the whole thing on, like, your side, too, though, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So we'll be all right. Never mind.
Yeah, Zwick will fix it. That's why we have a Zwick. No worries.
Yeah. I'm a YouTubist. Got a lovely YouTube station.
You're a station. Tell us about your YouTube station for anybody who might not know you.
I go into a lot of old internet stories, gaming mysteries. Like right now, I was talking about before we got started, we were talking about like some Battletoads mythology that I was getting into. By the time you hear this, it'll probably be out unless I decide to not make the video. But, you know, like, that's what kind of stuff it goes into. Like things we didn't really know about Battletoads, or I have one out about YTMND versus Ebound's World, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Have you covered like the Flash internet yet? Just sort of the Flash game world? Because that's interesting.
I have not.
Like the Newgrounds of it all.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a big Newgrounds guy too, like right at the beginning. Like
the best porn games.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you imagine if Newgrounds came out today the way it was when it started? Holy shit. Like their first like big hit game was a game where you're a school shooter.
Yeah.
Fucking Pico.
Yeah, Pico. That would be great. And also
I remember too,
completely unsustainable. But
yeah. They had when Newgrounds was brand fucking new and they didn't have any of the whole system that they had. They just had this fucking it was like a plain basic HTML list of fucking animations. And like every once in a while you just see like a new cartoon added, and that was what Newgrounds was.
Yeah.
That was the shit.
They were breaking new grounds.
Oh.
You should use that internet archaeologist thing. I think that's a good branding.
You know what it is? I feel like if I give myself an official sounding title, it'll sound like I'm trying to be internet historian. So that's I want to avoid that.
Well, but you're the most qualified internet historian I've ever seen. Like,
I do all right.
Not to give you too much credit, it is a mix of having a personality, which you know, not a lot of people have, and also just being around for a lot of the internet's shenanigans and mishaps. But you are highly qualified to be an internet historian, if anyone is.
I think what I have gotten a lot too is like there are channels like mine, but I've seen a lot of people tell me that like they like how I present the information better than a lot of the other channels do.
With
and I think
mustache.
That's why internet historian's successful too, because his presentation style, I like that it's very different from mine.
Oh,
and
is
like
that
it's
a
still
channel?
Like good. Yeah, that's a good yeah. Yeah,
okay.
It's a channel.
I'm not a YouTube. I do not watch a lot.
You're not
of
a YouTube.
Not really. I'm really into podcasts, but I just spend so much time making content that I'm not really a consumer at this point. I watch TV shows, like when I'm consuming, but and we were talking. I was talking. So Robin is here with us in the command center today, the fact checker. She's going to be a little bit of a part of the show today because Robin is a pretty big fan of
Robin's
the internet.
Jamie.
Yeah, Robin's my Jamie. I'm learning these Joe Rogan Experience terms. In fact, I didn't know the name of the show was Joe Rogan Experience until yesterday.
What did you think it was?
Just the Joe Rogan Show with Joe Rogan. Like,
wait, when you put it like that, it sounds like a daytime TV show.
As
it comes out, he comes out and like says hi to like an audience of fat middle-aged women and does like a short little stand-up routine while wearing a pink button-down shirt.
Open monologue.
Yeah.
Oh,
fuck,
man.
I kind of want to see that Joe Rogan show now.
I would watch it. I would watch that. Robin, what is your takeaway of Wang's existence?
My entire existence.
Yeah, like, put all of Justin Wang's existence into one little ball, and, like, what is your takeaway of him?
Yes.
Archaeologist. There's already an internet historian. We don't want to step on toes.
There's already one, and I'm not him.
Yeah. With us today is the internet historian, Justin Wang.
I mean, historian is a good word. Or like, what do you say? Archaeologist?
You're the Indiana Jones of the internet.
I'm highly dependent on Internet Archive.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But that's,
have you used that site?
No. Like,
you could it's saved my ass a lot of times. Like, there's, it's really bizarre. I guess if you're not familiar with it, it basically crawls the entire internet and like saves old versions of web pages. So you can find stuff potentially like something that was on the internet in like 1994 and isn't there, or it's different now. You can go find it.
I wonder, last week we were talking about this sitcom that's, not last week, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the sitcom that's really hard to find, called Freak Me Out.
Freak Me Out. That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it's so it's this like 23-minute long sitcom that ran in the 90s about, like, sort of based on Steve Wozniak and John Draper. Do you know who those are? Oh, you know who Steve Wozniak is.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who the other guy is.
Captain Crunch. He was an old prank caller. He prank called the White House once through like 8 different routings.
Mm-hmm.
It was really impressive. And so the show
was
sort of
a sitcom about them.
Yeah, it was like about them sort of just playing pranks on their superintendent, and like they'd hack phones and stuff. Across the street, there was a payphone bank, and I was talking about it with the guest, Brad Carter from the Phone Losers of America.
Mm-hmm.
He came on and we were just sort of talking about a bunch of old 90s sitcoms, but we were talking about that one because it's so obscure and hard to find. I found maybe four really crappy episodes of it on a satirical torrent. But
Satirical torrent?
Yeah, you know, crimes are satirical. That way you don't get in trouble for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Asterios taught me that. We found a really crappy audio, sort of a theme, like the theme song, but it's really bad audio. So I'm gonna try to find better information on this internet archive about that show, because that'd be cool if there's anything on there.
Yeah, like sometimes you could find a video on there, but you have your best luck with images and, you know, like text.
Okay. I mean, really, anything I could find on like random obscure stuff, though, would be cool. I'm gonna bookmark this. I can't believe I didn't know about this website.
Yeah. That's my favorite. Yeah, that's really, really valuable resource. I wish they had that for AOL, because if you know AOL or don't know AOL, like it was its own like self-contained thing that wasn't on the regular internet.
Yeah.
In the way that other stuff was, so like any of those keyword pages and stuff, those are all. I mean, I'm sure the files for them are stored somewhere, and I would love to have fucking access to that, but it's not on the internet, to my knowledge.
AOL's still around, right? Like, as a company?
Yeah. Apparently,
I wonder
like,
if you could contact anyone there and be like, hey, look, I do this thing. Is there a way I could look through your stuff?
Like, in a I'm sure they'll be like, oh, yeah, sure, please.
Way. Well, yeah, you'd gotta. I guess maybe they're trying to hide stuff. But
yeah, apparently AOL now, like they like own a bunch of companies. I think they own Huffington Post. I didn't realize that. Like they kind of like just do that.
Yeah, well,
I knew like they were their own news site now, but I didn't know it was like more to it than that.
Well, they also what it is, they own web blogs, which is like a blog network of mm-hmm. websites. So like Go90, I think is. Like owned by them, which I think I'm really into subsidiaries. Like I like that. Probably 100 companies own everything, but
I'm really into subsidiaries. That's you should. That's like something for your Tinder bio. I'm really into subsidiaries.
Well, it's good to know that you know when you go and buy M&Ms, like who you're actually giving your money to is interesting. You know. Like random stuff like that. Like, have you ever looked into those sort of the 100 companies that own everything sort of lists? Or like, some people can simplify them down into like 6 companies that like own most of everything we buy.
Yeah, I remember like looking into some of those when I was at some point I was working on a video like shitting on Arby's, and like I was like naming like the fucking the parent companies and all that shit involved in it. Like basically it was coming down to like I can't fucking stand how people like they act like Arby's, like they oh man, like they put up a picture of anime, they really get me. I'm totally eating roast beef tonight. Like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like I mean I wanted like the video in the end wound up just not being as funny as I wanted, so I didn't make it.
Oh, what is Arby's? Who owns Arby's?
I think it's like Wendy's that owns Arby's or some shit, or it's like the same.
Okay.
It's like Rourke Capital or some shit like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know. I'm really familiar with Yum, which like Yum owns Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, KFC.
Yeah, basically all the ones that you might find in a restaurant together.
Yeah. And that's, well, they don't own Long John Silver's, but there are, like, Long John Silver's Taco Bell stores. Yeah. So it's, like, there's a little, it helps with sodas. Obviously, that's the easiest example that people know is, like, soda stuff. Like, oh, Pepsi versus Coke. But they don't tend to realize that Pepsi, like, owns Quaker. Like, so Pepsi owns, like, Captain Crunch and Fritos.
Yeah.
Like, Pepsi owns Cheetos, everybody. Well, and... Yeah, they own Doritos, which is why Taco Bell can do Doritos Locos, is Pepsi owns Taco Bell and Doritos.
What they need to do...
Yeah, it's something crazy.
They own a lot of chips. They own
Lay's, very small Tostitos,
Sun Chips.
What they need to do is like take Flaming Hot Cheetos and like grind them up and just like sell them as like a seasoning.
Huge list of like shake 10 companies that just own everything.
That's an idea.
It is.
I wonder if I can like, get
people do that shit already. They might as well just have it ready to go.
That's true. What's a good example of that? There's. I mean, sometimes companies do go, oh, people do this thing, so we should make it easier to do that thing.
I mean, I guess like those pre-made peanut butter and jelly.
Oh,
fucking things.
Yeah, you can sort of squeeze them out, or the ones where it's both. Yeah. That is a good idea. I never thought about that. Like, marketably, that's a good idea to put peanut butter and jelly together because people do that anyway. Like,
I think it fucks up the peanut butter, though. But I'm not, like, I don't really like jelly.
Okay.
Well, so you're like, peanut butter
kinda, supremacist.
I am a peanut butter supremacist. And even then, I'm kind of like... I go through, like, peanut butter phases where sometimes I'm like, yeah, I can go for peanut butter. And then other times, I'm like, nah, keep it away from me.
What's your favorite soda, Justin?
I don't really like soda.
Okay.
Yeah, I drink seltzer a lot. I don't know if you would count that as a soda.
Seltzer?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Is it a health thing, or...?
No, in general, like, I don't really like sweet food.
Is it Canada Dry, or is it LaCroix?
Like, okay, I got in front of me, I got ShopRite sparkling seltzer with coconut flavoring.
Okay, you're frugal, that's good. It's good.
Are you like a LaCroix drinker?
Yeah. Dr. Pepper, like people are always like, oh, it's Pepsi or oh, it's Coke. And that's like an argument, but it's just not either of those.
It's a totally different flavor though.
Well, it's owned by Kraft. Like, so it's just not, it's a Kraft product. It's Kraft Coca-Cola, basically.
Dr. Pepper?
I mean,
I thought Dr. Pepper was owned by Coke.
No, Dr. Pepper is owned by Kraft.
And Kraft doesn't own Coke.
No, Coca-Cola owns Coke. Coca-Cola is one of those companies that owns almost everything. Like, Coca-Cola and PepsiCo are big. Like, Coca-Cola owns... What's something that you wouldn't expect them to own?
That's crazy. Like, fucking Dr. Pepper's the same company as Keurig.
What? Yeah.
Keurig Dr. Pepper. But, oh, wait, it's Coca-Cola? Wait, that's fucking weird. Now I'm looking at this. So, Dr. Pepper... In the U.S. is made by Keurig. In Europe, it's Coca-Cola. And in Canada, it's Pepsi.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Weird. Well, I know
it's... How can that be?
Dr. Pepper and Snapple are supposed to be owned by... Are supposed to be, like, sort of the thing. And I guess... Hold on. Let me look this up. Dr. Pepper is a weird place in the world. Just sort of intellectual property rights-wise... Because I think it's all of those other companies' sodas. Like, because the story of Dr. Pepper is someone mixed a bunch of sodas in a dentist office. And like, it became Dr. Pepper. 23 unique flavors became Dr. Pepper. But...
And then as of 2012, Mr. Pibb is made by Coke?
Interesting. Huh. Oh, I like that that Coca-Cola owns, like, Mellow Yellow, because they don't own Mountain Dew. That's interesting. But yeah, Pepsi owns Mountain Dew. Pepsi owns... Oh, and also root beer. Root beer is an interesting thing, because they all sort of have a root beer. Like, every soda company has their own root beer. I think A&W is Pepsi. Mug is Coca-Cola. Ah, that's fun. So, we're about 20 minutes in. Oh, probably less than that. Oh, really? Yeah, fact checker. Tell us about it.
Dr. Pepper has sued Coca-Cola twice. In some interesting
Wait, history, sold below cost.
In 1951, they asserted that
like,
nickel Coca-Colas were sold below cost. And
by selling too cheap of soda?
And that was a...
They were sued for free market practice?
$750,000 in 1951. That's a lot.
But it makes sense. Dr. Pepper needs so many more sodas to make a Dr. Pepper.
There was some fucking video I watched. This dude, Fact Fiend, and he was talking about... I forgot what country it was. It might have been like Germany or fucking England or some shit. But there were these supermarkets that were competing for... The beans. Yeah, they're paying you to take their beans.
Paying you?
Is it the beans? Yeah, some supermarket. Yeah, they decide. Well, the bean business was getting so low where, like the 1p stores, like, or not 1p, but like the 1 pound stores were like, hey,
why even order the beans?
We're going to sell beans like even cheaper. And eventually it got to the point where they were selling them for like 3 cents, and they were like, well, nobody's going to go lower than that. And then someone was like,
okay,
I will give you.
Yeah, that's
like,
interesting. Wang, if people gave you free things in a store, would you be more likely to go there and shop?
Limit like 10
per customer. It depends on if it's something I actually want.
Because people would go in and get other beans and get other stuff too.
Beans, like, I'm never in like a bean mood. And like, I feel like even if they paid me, like if they give me like 3 cents to take the beans off their hands, it's just kind of like they're paying me to have their burden.
That's fair. Well, it's like, why don't either of you just throw it away? I mean, why don't they just throw the beans away? At what point do you need to pay people to take your beans?
It's a loss leader, I guess. Like, it's kind of like
it's
how...
A loss
it's a loss leader.
Oh, a loss leader,
like
okay.
Yeah, like how Sony will sell PlayStations and lose money on them, but then they get more on, like, the fucking games.
Yeah, okay. That's true. And, I mean, you know, whatever gets your brand into the homes of everyone fastest, too, is a big thing. It's just, I guess, advertising. Like, they're sponsoring you when they do that. Sponsored by the bean companies. So that you talk about their beans on a podcast way in the future.
That'd be so weird. Like, if you had podcasts and shit getting promoted by local businesses and whatnot. Like, this podcast is brought to you by... Joe's Pizza on fucking this whatever fuck avenue.
Yeah, I need to look into that. Maybe I could get local. There's a restaurant down the street from where I live called Boomers.
Yeah.
And maybe I can get them to sponsor my podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Boomers.
Yeah. And I don't even mean Asterios and his peer group.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. So, what we have in common, how do we surmise that? Probably just we have way too much time to spend on the internet. And have spent so much time on the internet. So I like to find common ground with my guests.
People ask me how I know all this shit about like the stuff I put in my videos. And it's just because, I mean, yeah, so there's research involved, but most of the research starts with like, oh, here's this thing I fucking remembered that happened.
Yeah,
and that just comes from, huh? Yeah, it's just like kind of like having no life. That's it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So... To get into the show, it's about time we start.
It's morphin' time.
It's morphin' time. Let's all give our best. It's morphin' times. It's morphin' time.
It's morphin' time.
Robin. You're not going to do it? Wow.
It's the time of morphing.
It is the time to morph. When we're going to morph, we're going to morph.
The time of morphing is upon us.
The time of morphine is right after the show.
It's morphine time.
It's oh man, I gotta bring in like Breaking Bad, and do a Mighty Methan Power Hour. It's Methan time.
Like the whole podcast, just people going like.
Oh, Do you want to tell the audience your franchise that you picked? Because this is my favorite one someone's brought in, just in that it's the most original idea, I think, so far. Because we've had, like, Animaniacs and stuff where it's like, oh, okay, we could easily make this Power Rangers because it's happened before. But this one's kind of absurd.
I brought in Nightmare on Elm Street.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I have no idea, like, if I remember stuff well enough to actually do this somewhat competently. I literally just, like, you hit me up and you're like, yeah, so what franchise are you going to do? And I'm like, I just literally, like, that was the first thing that came in my head. I just totally pulled it out of my ass. Nice. In part because I was, like, half researching Nightmare on Elm Street thing for a potential video, but I was just, oh, yeah, sure, Nightmare on Elm Street.
So, who's your favorite Nightmare on Elm Street character? From any...
Definitely Freddy.
From any of it. Freddy? Yeah.
Of course Freddy, yeah.
That makes sense. Which is interesting. It's interesting that this is a franchise about the bad guy.
Yeah.
And sort of the first franchise about the bad guy. We're all about things that couldn't exist without other things. And, like, Dexter, all the first good seven seasons of it, or Breaking Bad, like, or Death Note, like, these things can't exist without Nightmare on Elm Street, I don't think.
See, now I'm trying to think if there are other things that came up that were, like, kind of about the bad guy. I mean, here's the thing, though.
I mean, Friday the 13th was even about the... It was about the girl.
Yeah.
Well, at least the first two.
I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street kind of is, too. Like, Freddy, even especially starting from, like, the Dream Warriors story arc, which is, like, where you start to get more consistency between the movies.
Yeah.
Then it focuses on the people who were the Dream Warriors and whatnot. And they even, like, what pisses me off... Alright, so Freddy's dead. The last Nightmare on Elm Street movie before A New Nightmare, but, like, the last one contained within the movie universe. It's, like, that went through a bunch of different revisions, and one of the versions of it that didn't get released, it had these characters, the Dream Police, that were the Dream Warriors back, and now they can go into other people's dreams like Freddy and fight Freddy in other people's dreams.
Oh.
Like, I thought that would have been fucking badass, but it didn't happen.
Oh, it still could. Yeah, that would be really awesome.
I would 100% make that movie.
Yeah? What would it... Oh, man. Well, okay. What if the Dream Warriors, the Dream Police, were Power Rangers?
See, I was thinking about that. Like, that was, like, a few different angles of how we could make the teams. And, like, it's complicated because I was thinking, like, we could do that, or we could make Freddy's various transformations Power Rangers.
That's fair. We could just do both. We could just run through both scenarios.
But then I was thinking, I would watch Power Rangers, and I would always hope for the bad guys to win. So it would be the same if I made Freddy the bad guys too.
Yeah, that's fair. Whatever you want to do. I like the Dream Warriors angle is really good. Like, because you do have sort of you've got, like, Nancy. You've got Johnny Depp's character wasn't, was he?
No, he was long dead.
Yeah, he got
chewed up in a bed and splattered out across the ceiling.
Yeah, that's right. Who else? Joey?
Kincaid was, like, the big black dude, and he was, like, he got, like, his dream power was, like, he got, like, fucking super strong and shit.
So he's a good Black Ranger.
Yeah, definitely. Kincaid's definitely gonna be, like, the Black Ranger.
Okay.
He's definitely gonna stretch that suit out a bit, but, you know, I think they're spandex, so he should be okay.
Yeah, it'll last. It'll work. Who's your okay? So let's go with colors. Who's your Red Ranger?
Red Ranger. Oh, shit.
Because Nancy's a good Pink Ranger, obviously.
Yeah,
that's easy.
But then I'm, like, thinking, like, because I like, Nancy is, like, she's, like, kind of key. Maybe, like, she could be, like, a White Ranger or some shit, too. I don't know, because she's, like, she's in Dream Warrior. She's older than them and kind of, like, I guess Nancy's kind of Zordon, though, in a
way.
Okay,
I like that. Nancy's our Zordon.
Yeah, Nancy's Zordon.
Okay.
I think it would make sense for Patricia Arquette to be the Pink Ranger. Kristen Parker.
Kristen. Okay. Because she... So, Nancy also dies before Kristen does, too. trying to think of the franchise. Like a lot of these, yeah, like Kincaid dies in 4, not in 3. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay. So I like Kristen as the Pink Ranger. And also, I'm gonna have to watch Nightmare on Elm Street tonight. Yeah. Should have watched it before the show. But that would be too good of podcasting. Like, that would be prepared. Can't do that now, can I?
The thing is, too, also, whatchamacallit, the, maybe, like, she could be the Red Ranger, though, because she's kind of, like, the leader, and, the Red Ranger, is the Red Ranger, is he, he's, like, the leader, right? Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but also, you can, in Time Force, the Pink Ranger was kind of the leader. In Zeo, the Pink Ranger was kind of the leader. I mean, you've got these strong, independent woman types who have led the Power Ranger teams before. I think it is... There's no reason for a woman to not be the Red Ranger. And the first female Red Ranger we're getting is in a Boom Studios comic, Go-Go Power Rangers, issue 16. They just revealed at Power Morphicon, which I don't know if you know what that is, but Power Ranger Comic-Con. They just revealed it with Trini from the original series, the Yellow Ranger, being the Red Ranger. Jason is now the Yellow Ranger, so the Red Ranger is now the Yellow. The Blue Ranger is now the Black Ranger. The Black Ranger is now the Pink Ranger, like Zach, a big black dude. And Kimberly, the Pink Ranger, is now the Blue Ranger. So they're
why did they switch up like that?
They did this thing called Shattered Grid that sort of brings all of the different Power Ranger teams into continuity together. And kind of fucked up the universe. So it could just... We don't know yet. But it's probably like the Morphers got reassigned, basically.
Gotcha.
Which is cool because it's, you know, it's like really arbitrary who is what. But it also isn't because it gives all these characters new abilities to play around with. Like Jason has to learn how to use these daggers because he's used to using the power sword.
Oh, that's right. They got that shit.
Yeah. So like none of these people know how to fight. Like the Black Ranger uses a giant battle axe, and the Blue Ranger is a skinny little nerd with almost no actual physical strength. So he's got to find a way to use this giant battle axe, like, effectively.
But the suit makes him stronger, though.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's sort of the idea of the when you morph, the suits heighten whatever spiritual abilities you have, basically, throughout all of the incarnations of the Rangers. So, you know, Billy is really smart, but when he morphs, he's smarter. Like, Zach was always really, really strong, high school athlete and all, but when he morphs, he has super strength, sort of a thing. They're all, like, you know, more durable and stuff, but it's sort of, their suits are shields more than anything. They protect them, but they don't really... I didn't like in the 2017 movie when they all have Chronicle-style powers, like, before morphing, they all just have powers.
I didn't watch it, but I saw the trailer, and that looked kind of stupid to me.
The trailer literally looks like Chronicle, because they had Lance, the Matt, what was it, Matt Lance? Can you, I'm such a big fan of this guy. Robin, can you fact check who wrote Chronicle? Because he initially was writing that Power Rangers movie. Max Landis. You don't need to fact check. I remember.
Oh yeah, Max Landis.
I knew him. I read the screenplay for Chronicle and Chronicle 2. The Chronicle 2 screenplay is really cool, but they'll never make that movie. But he was signed on to write Power Rangers, and he sort of, like, you can tell that he did, like, the trailer directing, sort of. Like, he was supposed to be the guy who ran the Power Rangers movie, and they sort of fired him because offensive tweets. But, you know, that everybody gets fired for that now, so it's not a big deal. It's normal. But, like, they all had powers in that, just innately. They could jump over cliffs and, you know, break sinks on accident. It's like, oh, that's sort of not supposed to be the case. They're supposed to just be kids, and then they step into the role of hero. But, what was the point of this? Oh, yeah, the Red Ranger can be a girl. Yeah, that was the point of this.
Okay.
So, she can be the Red Ranger.
Gotcha. Alright, so... Alright, who else do we have in here?
We need a Blue Ranger and a Yellow Ranger. So, we have Kincaid, Kristen...
Kincaid's the Black Ranger. Although, I'm like... Now, I'm like, looking at him, he's like always wearing red. But he's the Black Ranger. We got... Wait, so we got... Fuck.
So, yeah, I think Kristen's the Red Ranger. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of. Don't worry, I'm typing it. I got it.
Alright, cool. next one would be Taryn. I see, like, she's got, like, the goth chick aesthetic, so, like, she could be another Black Ranger. But I guess, like, can I make her, like, the Purple Ranger? Is that, like, can I just make up colors? Because, like, that's, like, it's, like, if you're, like, a goth chick, like, and you can't get black, like, purple is the next best thing.
They just released another thing at Power Morphicon called the Solar Ranger, which is, like, a black and purple ranger with, like, yellow highlights.
The Solar Ranger.
Yeah, I hope they're not Pokemoning it too much, where they're just like, oh, we're out of ideas. Gotta just create more of them, more rangers forever. But it looks kind of like a cool idea.
Yeah, the yellow's kind of throwing it off, though.
I agree, it's clashing in a weird way. They maybe didn't need the yellow, but they had to put the yellow to call it the Solar Ranger, I'm sure. So, but yeah, that could be... just have...
What if we just, like... Alright, because I don't, like, want the goth chick to be in the wrong colors.
No, absolutely. Because they wouldn't stand for that.
Yeah, I know. So, like, what if we give Kincaid a different color and let Taryn be the Black Ranger?
Okay.
And then we give... What do we have left?
Blue and pink and yellow.
We have blue and
pink. So Kincaid's the Pink Ranger.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's make him the Pink Ranger. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yep. Okay, Taryn's the Black Ranger. Kristen's the Red Ranger. Kincaid's the Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
So we need blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow. There's no Asians in that movie, so I can't just make an Asian Yellow Ranger.
Did you know that the Yellow Ranger was
a boy? That's a karate guy, though. Huh?
Did you know the Yellow Ranger was a boy in the source in the material original? And in the original, like, fight scenes and stuff? That's great.
Yeah. I know, like, all those shows, like, are just, like, a totally other show.
Yeah. I haven't gotten into Super Sentai much, but I try to. It's just hard to find. It's not easily available in this country yet. Which it should be. It's very popular.
Yeah, you would think that it would be more accessible.
Yeah. Than like on Crunchyroll or something. Like, it's a drama. Well, it's on Shout Factory TV. If anybody's ever wanted to watch Super Sentai but don't know where to watch it, the first three seasons of that... Well, okay. The first three starting with Kyuranger, which is where they pulled Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but there were three Sentai shows before that that are not translated anywhere. But these all have subs on them at Shout Factory TV.com. But so a blue ranger, and then are you looking up who the karate guy was?
Yeah, which one was the dude? That's like that scene where it's one of the most famous Nightmare on Elm Street scenes, I think, where he's like doing martial arts and fighting an invisible Freddy.
Oh.
Fuck.
That sounds awesome. We have a Jamie. Robin, who is the karate kid in Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah. That was Rick Johnson from number 4.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know the name. I'm guessing he just dies. Just dies immediately or what?
Yeah. It's, it's weird. Number 4. Yeah, because, like, Dream Warriors and, like, number 4 also has that kind of, like, fighting back thing. There's that cool scene at the end when, like, the last chick who survives, she takes, like, different, like, trinkets from the other dead kids and kind of, like, gets their abilities in the dream world.
Oh, interesting.
And, like, one of his things is, like, his, like, fucking karate fucking headband or whatever the fuck.
Oh, that's cool, though. That's a good way to keep him in the mythos.
Yeah, so he's got to be the Yellow Ranger.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. And it's totally fine because the Yellow Ranger doesn't have to be a girl. So, boom. We did it. A lot of people come in like, the Yellow Ranger's got to be the second girl. And it's like, there were no second girls until Power Rangers. And then Sentai started doing two girls on the team. But that's totally an American invention. So, the Blue Ranger.
That's who's left the Blue Ranger?
Yep.
The Blue Ranger. Shit. I know you have the kid who came, the mute kid, Joey.
Yeah, I was thinking Joey is left.
Yeah. He's like, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one that dies in that, like, that puppet scene and shit.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. That's a badass death. I don't know how that fucking, like, that's like, there's actually a thing I saw a few years ago. Like, there was, like, a big sculpture you could buy of the puppet death.
Jeez.
super fucking rare. Let me look up how much that shit costs now. Dream Warriors. But I think Joey's a good Blue Ranger. Death figurine. I fucking... You know, this is going to piss me off now because I can't find the fucking statue and it was really fucking cool.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mighty Dream and Power Rangers. That'll be the episode title.
Mighty Dream and Power Rangers. Yeah. I like it.
And now we just need our bad guys. But we'll get to that. I'm interested in following through with this.
Wait, can I make Jason a Power Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Jason's the White Ranger.
Nice.
Just because... No, actually, I guess he should be the Green Ranger because, like, he's, like, underwater a lot. And it's, like, his suit's not going to stay, like, pristine and white.
Yeah, tied you're right. To, like, it's whatever the fuck in the bottom of and seaweedy.
Jason's the fucking, like, yeah, he's, like, the algae-covered ranger.
The algae ranger. Yes.
Yeah.
I like it. Zwick. Sort of edit around that White Ranger stuff so that we talk about Jason, but not this random stuff on either side of it. Can you hear the dog barking?
Yeah.
Okay. Good thing so I can edit that out too. Please stop barking. It's not time for that. It's time for more thing.
Backing time is over.
How's your search for that statue going?
Yeah. It's not coming up. I'll have to deal with this at a later date.
Robin, do you want to spend the rest of the episode looking for that statue?
Yeah. It's a recreation of the scene where Joey, like, his tendons are used as marionette strings, and then Freddy, like, walks him off a ledge and makes it look like he killed himself.
Oh, God.
Dream Warriors, number 3.
Yeah, 3. Okay, so we've got our Rangers. We've got Kincaid as the Pink Ranger, Kristen leading the team as the Red Ranger, Joey's our Blue Ranger, Taryn's the Black Ranger, and Rick is our Yellow Ranger. We also have a special assisting ranger, Jason, the Algae Ranger. Jason Voorhees, the Algae Ranger.
Yeah, Jason Voorhees, not just like some random guy named
Jason. Not Jason from the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need 2 bad guys.
All right, so obviously bad guy number 1's got to be Freddy.
Yeah. So Freddy will be the bad guy that gets really, really big for some reason.
Yeah, I think he has gotten really big
In
the past, so that makes sense.
I'm sure he could just dream about it, right? Or like find somebody who's like afraid of giants, I guess. Because aren't his powers sort of connected to the fears of people?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So we got Freddy as our main bad guy, and then as our overlord or whatever. It's easy to have it just be fear itself, like.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, but could it like do the rules allow for like non-canon assets?
The rules allow for everything. It's a fanciful world without the restriction of intellectual property rights, Justin.
So I like the idea. Of the supreme overlord being actually not Freddy, but, or fear itself, but, this bootleg Freddy Krueger toy, Nightmare Freddy. Have you seen Nightmare Freddy?
I have seen Nightmare Freddy.
Yeah, I spent the other night, I had to be like, maybe like a solid hour trying to find a Nightmare Freddy for sale, just to like get an idea of what I'm like, what kind of price range I'm looking for this, because it's probably my favorite bootleg toy of all time.
Oh, can you not find it?
No, like, I saw ones that sold already. Oh. Was for, like, somebody sold it for $200, another one, like, for $100. But it's probably extremely fucking rare, because who the fuck knows where these things come from?
Yeah.
But yeah, Nightmare Freddy is running shit.
Oh, that's great. Nightmare Freddy is really good. That's a good meme. Yeah. I'm glad that exists.
Anybody listening to this, if you don't know Nightmare Freddy, look up Nightmare Freddy.
It's almost what you'd expect, but without a hat. Isn't that the only difference? I gotta look him up again.
No, he has like a claw. I think he does have that. No, he has no hat. And he has like
no hat, and it's like a glove with like 4. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not.
No, he does have a hat.
Does he?
Yeah, and he comes with these like detachable shoes that look like little girl shoes.
Oh man, that's so funny.
His claw is like his whole hand. And I think he has a thumb claw, even. No, he doesn't. Never mind.
No,
but
no,
like, and then on the on the box, he's fucking like, he's like, it just has like an action pose where he's walking forward with the club, but it looks like he's just like kind of like doing like a limp wrist, like fucking hey with the fucking claw.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm looking at it now. That's amazing. And then in the box, the claw looks nothing like that. Like, it's not impressive at all. The
blades it literally are looks like he just didn't cut his fingernails.
Yeah, yeah, just like, kind of like a werewolf.
Even on the box art, the claws are pretty short.
Yeah, that's funny. That's so funny. Bootleg toys are really good. So that's our bootleg villain for the for this crossover. That's amazing. So now we got to get into the plot. 40 minutes into the show, we'll start talking about the plot of the show. So where is it taking place?
I guess it would have to be California.
Okay.
Because that's kind of like, that's where like the original fucking Elm Street was, right? Wasn't it?
It's also where Angel Grove is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could be at a, we could be in Angel Grove, California, on the street called Elm. I'm sure they have one.
I'm sure they have one, yeah.
Yeah, everybody has an Elm Street.
That's bothering me, though, because I'm trying to remember, like, if now I'm thinking it didn't, like, might maybe look like more of, like, an East Coast thing, and then Jason took Manhattan.
Yeah.
So, he, for him to rally up with these guys, Jason, it's, I what? Feel like it's going to be really, like, despite him being what he is, it's going to be hard for Jason to get to California.
Well, it depends on the year that this takes place. Because he could just get on a plane if it's before 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, nobody will check his bags. He can just keep all his knives on him. He doesn't have to take the hockey mask off. There's no rules.
There's a... fuck that. I need it to be in the proper Elm Street, though.
Hey, find what that is.
Yeah, what's the proper Elm Street here?
Robin, where does Nightmare on Elm Street take place?
Is it like Springfield, where it's like they don't tell you exactly where it is?
Oh, that would suck. That's no, they can't do that. Come on.
Springwood. Where is Springwood? It's Ohio.
What?
That's way off.
Wait, Nightmare on Elm Street takes place in Ohio?
I guess so.
That's awesome in like a really underwhelming way.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. Like a really small town in Middle America, but.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so funny. Because why?
Cause see, like, the more I thought of it, the more I was thinking, like, Pennsylvania or some shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can see it. Like, thinking about it, I can see it just being, like, some little town in the middle of nowhere that does not matter.
Yeah.
But you would think that it would be, like, on a coast or, you know, somewhere. Because you're trying to appeal to an audience, and it's easy to do that when you're like, this takes place in New York where everybody lives. Which is why I think most things take place in, like, big places like that.
Well, the horror movies tend to be in small towns.
That's true. So, so we'll scratch Angel Grove. This takes place in Ohio.
In Ohio, yeah.
The Power Rangers of Ohio. The Dreamin' Rangers. Power Ranger Dream Force, probably.
There's, like, this triangle of, like, certain parts of Ohio and Indiana and Michigan where it's just, like, a fucking meteor hit it.
Really?
Like, those kinds of air, yeah. Like, I remember, like, being, like, in Indiana, and they were, like, literal fucking, I forget what part it was, but there were literal fucking holes in the sidewalk. Like, it looked like Silent Hill. So, just picture some shit going down in, like, this part of the country with fucking a giant Freddy Krueger walking around and, like, shit getting fucked up, and everyone's just, not really changing anything.
Yeah, there's no consequences to this fight.
Yeah.
That's fair. Well, and it could also be taking place, you know, in the imagination of someone inside of this town, too. Because I guess, when I was thinking of setting, like, a lot of the setting for that isn't even Elm Street. It's just, it's inside of the people's heads or dreams or whatever.
Yeah, like, I think Freddy can't even fuck with you in the real world unless someone pulls him into the real world.
Exactly. Let's see. So we've got our setting. It's taking place in Angel Grove, Ohio. On Elm Street. What's the basic plot? Like, why are these brands crossing over this week in your head, Justin?
What's the basic plot? I guess, like, someone pulled the giant Freddy. Oh, here's what happened. Like, Freddy, like, there was, like, a dream where like Freddy was intergalactic and fucking with somebody, and then they pulled him into the real world. So now you got like intergalactic powered Freddy and Nightmare Freddy in the real world fucking with shit.
Okay.
But then you got the Dream Warriors, because like now it's like we're in a post let's just imagine that Dream Police is canon, and they got pulled into the real world through the same mechanism somehow, and then they got powers.
Yeah.
They got the Power Ranger powers to fight Freddy in the real world.
That's awesome.
Either that, or someone could have just had a fucking dream where Freddy Krueger and the Dream Warriors were Power Rangers people.
Well, what it is
which seems like something.
After this episode, we're just gonna go. We're gonna fall asleep on whatever substances we abuse, and then we're gonna dream this dream, which is what makes it real. I'll definitely have this dream tonight. Like, I'll just.
Yeah.
And then they.
I've definitely had like a lot of weird dreams like that too, where like shit just gets like mashed together in my fucking brain.
Yeah, like your subconscious is trying to unravel it all, but it's like, and that's where Nightmare Freddy can come in. Is like you're like dreaming about Freddy Krueger, but like you can't, you know how you can't really picture somebody perfectly in your head. Yeah. Like you accidentally create Nightmare Freddy in your head. It's like
Nightmare Freddy is what Freddy Krueger actually looks like in your dreams.
Yeah, that's there you go. So like somebody's just waking up after listening to this podcast episode and they had this dream, and it's in real life now because they were pulled out of the dream. Okay. And then there's always an excuse for the minor villain to get really, really big. Do you remember how he did it in the movies? Or was it just...
He's in a dream. If he's in a dream, he can just fucking do it.
Okay. So he's just
That's how it is, like... I guess he just kind of, like, pulls you into the dream world to make himself, like, be able to get big.
Okay. I like that.
And then if you have enough, like, presence of mind in the dream world, you can do whatever the fuck you're gonna do, too. So, and you can just, like, get your fucking Zord.
Oh, yeah, Dream Zords.
Shit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rangers gotta call in their trusty Zords, so we should ascribe Zords to each Ranger. What's a thing representative of their personalities?
I guess
start with Kincaid on this list here.
So he's got like that big ass hammer. So, but like it's got to be like a fucking animal of some kind.
Yeah.
But like,
let's see, are there any animals they like are fond of? That's interesting. I don't remember if any of them had like a pet dog they loved or something.
There is a dog that gets like pulled out of a dream at some point.
Okay.
I think that might be in the fourth one though.
See, I mean, it could be. When we did the Freak Me Out episode, like, it was, like, phone. Like, a phone was one of their Zords. They just get inside of the phone. It's a giant phone. So it can be, you know, he could have a giant hammer that functions as the arm of the Megazord. But he just, like, jumps inside of his giant hammer.
I think his Zord should be a pair of suspenders. Because that's always, like, every time I think of Kincaid, I think about his goofy-ass suspenders.
A giant mech pair of suspenders.
Yeah, that's it. Just suspenders.
Okay. So that'll form the body, like the torso of the Zord.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we need the Red Ranger, Kristen. We need her Zord.
It can just be like big 80s hair.
I'm picturing that in my head. Like, that's amazing. So she'll be the head of the Megazord.
Yeah.
Giant 80s haircut. Oh, that's amazing. Like a perm, right? Wasn't everybody get it? Like, what?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been a perm then? Yeah.
Not necessarily a perm, just like super like teased out and fucking hairsprayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you're right. And then Joey.
Joey. He's a guy. What's the thing that can't talk? Like, that's like his defining characteristic is that he can't talk.
Yeah.
Shit. But that and like the fucking getting killed. With the fucking marionette shit.
Well, maybe it's just he brings in his Zord is arms connected by string. Like, just the arms of a marionette. And he controls them from, you know, wherever puppets control things, or puppet masters control stuff. So he's just hanging out in the hair, and he's just, like, using the marionette wood to control the arms.
Yeah.
Like that little wooden, what is that called? I'm sure that's called something. Robin, what do puppets, puppeteers use to control puppets? I'm trying to think of the Teen Titans episode.
Sticks.
Like, where the puppet master, like, was controlling them all or whatever. I'm sure it's called something.
Yeah, everything's got to have some kind of fucking name. But I don't know what it is.
It's sort of a puppet remote control.
See, and now, like, now I'm looking at it, like, Kristen. I don't remember why I remembered her having big 80s hair. Because she very clearly doesn't. Like, even, like, in, like, when they make them, like, all, like, crazy-ass fucking dream warriors.
Oh, it's just, she does not. Well, I mean, she doesn't have it yet. She hasn't morphed.
She could, I guess.
Yeah. That's...
Oh.
That's underwhelming. We need to write about this to someone. I'm going to send a strongly worded letter. Okay. Well, we'll be... Apparently, they'll be hearing from controller. Us. So, Joey has a puppet controller. As his Zord, and it provides the arms of the thing.
The patent is for puppet control. Let's see.
Taryn. What, like, we need a weapon. She's pretty sad.
I mean, she just has, like, mad fucking knives and shit.
Yeah.
She fights Freddy with, like, fucking switchblades.
So she, her Zord can just be a gigantic, like, knife. Like, a really big switchblade. Or, like, a Swiss Army knife. Something a little useful to the team for whatever the situation is.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Okay, a giant Swiss Army knife. So that she can lend her Zord to being the weapon.
Yeah.
And then all that's left is Rick, the Yellow Ranger. We need feet. How do we... I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be feet. We just need a way for them to move.
Something that could be walked on.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, he's like the karate guy, so you might as well fucking be like regular ass feet.
Just like just like a black belt from like the waist boots. Down.
Just like a regular ass, like, pair of feet. Like, you got the whole, like, mechanical Megazord.
Wait, what was that, Robin? Yeah, exactly. So they're just like, they're just Rick's feet. Like, Rick's feet are just really big now. Like, Rick's legs. Yeah. And he's wearing suspenders.
Well, footwork is like, pretty
that's, big. But from the waist down.
Oh, footwork's pretty big.
Yes.
Like, footwork.
He's just floating. So. Like, he's the most efficient Megazord legs we've ever seen because they're not, like, two cars that are trying to, like, stumble down the road. Like, it's... He can jump up and kick people. He
moves like
face.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, it's just what's happening.
Regular legs. Or his Megazord. Do you imagine? Like, Megazord, yellow, legs. And, like, they just show up and they're just two separate. They can't be connected by anything, right? There's no genitals in Power Rangers. That's inappropriate. So there's no groin area. Like, they're just two separate legs until they become part of the Megazord and they hop inside of the suspenders. They do. Because there's nothing there.
They keep in shape.
They keep in shape. Well, these are going to be some thick karate legs.
You ever seen a fat Megazord? I mean, Titanus has got, like...
Yeah, Megazords have a big thigh girth.
There's some in Gurren Lagann that are kind of chubby.
I remember when Dragonzord having kind of a belly now I think about it.
That's just, you know, Tommy Oliver, as he gets older, is going to have like a dad bod, and you got to evolve the character. You got to have his Megazord also have a dad bod. That's all. Nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of chest girth, though.
Yeah. But that's good, though, then. That's pecs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got...
It's like monster pecs.
Well, it's like kind of like one big peck in the middle.
One big peck.
Yeah.
That would look really weird on a person. I mean, I've seen Josh Peck. He used to be one big peck. Low-hanging fruit. Is he a YouTuber now?
Is he?
Wang, you got to do videos with Josh Peck.
Got to collab with Josh Peck.
So for the last about 2 or 3 minutes of the show... We gotta have a fight.
He's a YouTuber now.
Like, that's what everybody came here for. They want to know how these Dream Rangers are going to defeat Giant Freddy Krueger. And we made them wait till the very end of the show to find out. So how's this going down?
Alright, so he comes out and pulls him into the dream world somehow.
Naturally.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of like a whole like setup now. It's like, it's to get to this...
Yeah, if they're the Dream Police.
Yeah, the Dream Warriors. They can fucking hunt him out. So maybe Freddy, like, isn't interacting with the Dream Warriors yet. and he's just like fucking with random Ohioans.
They could have gone in after him, right? They can go into dreams too, right?
Okay. Maybe Jason, like, you know, sends them a fax and is like, hey, we've got a Freddy Krueger is causing mayhem. Gotta go stop him. Gotta have the Algae Ranger involved somehow. But he's across the country. He cannot help. He's not.
Yeah, he's just like calling them up and shit because he's like in New York still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we have Nancy as Zordon. So maybe Nancy's using her superior, like, OG character status to have stronger dream powers than the rest.
Well, we did put Nancy as Zordon.
And,
right?
Yes.
She sort of links the realities together, right? So, you know, skipping all that stupid plot building, we don't need that. The fight's gonna be fun.
Yeah, so, there's always that segment before, like, they actually fight the main guy, and they gotta fight, like, bullshit enemies.
Yeah.
Like, Freddy's got, like some kind of putties. Yeah, which I guess, the putties, I guess, like, they're Little Nightmare Freddies.
Oh, that's so good.
So, yeah. So, and they're fighting the Nightmare Freddies, like, in their, like, Dream Warrior, Power Ranger outfits. And then, like, a big Freddy comes along.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they
like maybe there's a regular Freddy, and then like he gets big, and yeah, like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Probably so.
Because he just does it because like he's like, oh, I'm that's what I want. That's how I feel like getting right now.
Yeah. He's like, I control this. I can do what I want. Okay, I like that. I really like the Dream Freddies. I'm thinking. I'm picturing them as. Have you seen Yoga Hosers by Kevin Smith?
No.
Okay, that's fine. No reason anybody would. but there's something called Bratzies, which are tiny Nazi Bratsworth. And I'm imagining a bunch of really small, like, toy-sized Fetties, like, out of the box, like, millions of them fighting these Rangers. And they're just... Like, they're not a real threat. They're kind of cute. but it's like the numbers are a little overwhelming for a minute. You know, they just, like, power through it. Let's see, and then, yeah, Freddy shows up. There's got to be some like really campy, like, oh, well, I'll defeat you, Rangers moment. But Freddy doesn't really do that. So instead, like, Freddy just makes gang signs with his claws, like, to start the fight.
And yeah. I guess, like, to beat him, like, they're going to have to fucking, like, I think, like, ultimately, what winds up killing him, if I'm not mistaken, is, like, some kind of, like, random Jesus shit.
Oh.
Like, or like, it's like the fucking, I remember like, the Dream Child, number 5, the nun like takes him out with some stuff like that.
Okay.
But I don't remember like his official, like, Freddy's dead death, what like kind of process. Like
how he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like the final one. Holy shit. I just looked, Robert Englund didn't die. Wait, what the fuck? All right, so Google, like I googled like how Freddy died and Freddy's dead, and you know how Google fills in those questions. It's like people also ask. So I got the thing. What year did Robert Englund die?
Is he dead?
And it says no, he's not. Okay. But it says, but Google says he died in 1988.
What? That's before most of the movie. I was gonna say like Wes Craven died in 2015, but I don't think. Yeah, I was. Pretty sure that Robert Englund was not dead. Cool. If any of the listeners were wondering, now you know Robert Englund is safe. It's okay. Oh
yeah.
Oh, what if? Oh man, don't say stuff like that.
He was like, he better hang on for at least another 5 more weeks.
Yeah, for real.
At the time of recording.
But I know that. Like, so sorry. Here's the thing where it gets complicated in New Nightmare. Then Freddy is, like, inside. Once you get around to New Nightmare, all the movies are the movie inside the movie.
Yeah.
So none of that is necessarily a canonical way to kill him.
Well, and I mean, is there a canonical way to kill your fears? Like, your nightmares? I mean, you can't. You just gotta stop wetting the bed at one point.
Yeah. Or, you know, you take, I actually have that, the Hypnosil. I have, like, a bottle of Hypnosil. It's actually fucking mints. The stuff that keeps Nancy from sleeping.
Okay.
But, yeah. Like, so you can just not dream.
Okay, so like
stay awake forever.
So this Megazord is this giant, like, just to make sure there's a clear visual in the audience's head, that you would pan up, and as the camera comes up, there's these beefy karate legs. Like this giant figure is wearing a pair of suspenders, pink suspenders, because Kincaid's the Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
And then as you go up, like, the arms are just puppet arms. Like, and then they're holding Swiss Army knives in both hands. And then the torso is just still the suspenders, like, just so, I guess, Kincaid's body. And then leading up to, like, Kristen's head, but with the craziest hairstyle. That's...
That's a badass fucking Megazord.
We gotta get somebody to draw this at some point.
Yeah.
My friend Nick Caesar did some art for Wes Craven, and he was the Scream curator, the curator for art for Scream 4. So he's really into this stuff. He might want to draw it just for that. Like, I'll send him this episode. See if I can get show art for it. That'd be awesome. So, like, this is a great visual, and now they've got to fight a giant Freddy. And I think Giant Freddy, what he should do is he should be made, like, you know how it's a trope when a thing absorbs a bunch of little versions of that thing and becomes really big, right? So if he's just absorbing, like, and building himself larger out of Nightmare Freddies, like in those pictures that are pictures made of little pictures, like, he's a giant Freddy Krueger made of little Freddies.
And like you fucking, he gets punched and like the little Freddies like fly out of him and shit.
But he like just more of them come to his aid. Like, and the only way to stop the little Freddies, of course, would be to, well, you gotta, what would happen if Freddy Krueger couldn't dream? Like, what if he took a bunch of those pills, those vitamins?
Can he?
Well, doesn't he have to always be dreaming? What if they woke him up? Or
he's just,
yeah,
but he's,
I agree with you. I agree with that.
It's a hard question. I don't know. Like, what if Freddy Krueger is another dude who's just, like, sleeping somewhere?
He's like, he's Sid from Toy Story. And he's just having a bad dream because he's a bad person.
Yeah.
Or he's having a good dream because his good dream is killing, like, people in this town. Like...
But then, if that were the case, then ultimately what has to be done to defeat Freddy is you just have to, like, figure out who it is and kill some random person in their sleep.
Oh, like Gungale Online. The SAO.
I don't know what that is.
Sword Art Online's second season. The bad guy, you know, is in this game a bad guy, but in real life, like, just a boy. Just a little boy. So the easy solution is you kill the little boy. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It literally is. Only instead of a little boy, it's a sleeping person.
So they're just fighting, and at some point, for some reason, like, Jason, like, finally shows up, and he's like, guys, he's down the road. He's asleep. Like, just go over there. And then, like, Jason has to make that move. Like, he has to make a break for it. And then he has to go kill, like, the little boy that's dreaming of Freddy. Who's Jason's most famous victim?
I mean, I guess Freddy himself?
Probably. Especially now.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe Freddy is at a nearby camp. Like, at a nearby, like, camp. And, so he's just asleep, you know? Or maybe he's asleep getting ready for camp or something. So Jason,
wait, what if Freddy is Jason?
Oh, shit. Yeah, what if... Oh, man. Dun, dun, dun. But, I mean... Oh... I think that's where we got in the episode. Jason, okay, so Jason wakes up in a cold sweat and is like, fuck, I gotta go tell these guys this thing. And then realizes that, like, he's just a little YouTuber. He's just a regular person. Like, he's not really Jason. Hell, no one's Jason, no one's Freddy. He's just this boy named Justin Wang who makes internet videos.
That'd be dope. Then if I got killed by fucking Jason because I'm Freddy, then I don't gotta go to jury duty tomorrow.
And that's where we're gonna end it. Canonically, of course, Justin Wang is Jason Voorhees, is Freddy Krueger. And doesn't have to go to jury duty. Zwick, you can, this is in, put the outro here. This is it. This is good. Well, that's it for our adventures today, but we'll see you at the Command Center next week. Special thanks to our very own Alpha Zwick and our very own Ron Wasserman, Grant Mooney from Thought Cops. For bonus content and to support the show, go ahead and check out Antisocial Entertainment on Facebook as well as patreon.com/ASEPresents.